877-365-3636.
I like the mysticism. The writing is delicious.
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention. Please. Oh, dear.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
You may experience gas with oily discharge, increased bowel movements, an urgent need to have them, and an inability to control them, particularly after meals containing more fat than recommended.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Everybody loves Don a bike.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Can't start the show until we hear from Phil.
Phil? Phil? Phil?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Phil, and keep practicing. I'm hungry. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Mystery Noise and all the ships at sea. Please come kiss their cold, wet, hoary core. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Connor. Thank you, Robbie.
Yeah, baby.
And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast nationwide via Bestwood Bond, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara right here. That's why we call it your Cotton Pick and Don and Mike show.
Have a nice big pile of pancakes with syrup on it.
Coming to you from JFK Radio, Washington, D.C. I have just enough time to say Ken, Jeremy, Big Daddy L, and Donald from
Yeah.
And, of course, Soccer Moms, I hope that you heed my advice. I give every day at this very time. I'm going to take a junior missing with him way to the back of your midnight van where I have just whipped this thing out.
Oh, now, yesterday it looked good. What happened to it today?
Let me ask it. How's it going down there? Don, baby, how's it going?
I didn't know it had a voice.
I'm fine down there, Mike.
Pretty incredible.
I don't know what's going on down there.
That's scary. It's like Halloween, you make it speak.
Another perfectly executed opening to this big time major market radio show, Arbitron, rated strong with 5 million kooky, crazy national listeners. And we thank you for your patronage. Here he is to my left and to your right. You know him as the man with pubic hair on his head. Radio's Guy Friendly. Hello, Buzz.
Hold on. You know what?
Hi, Don.
Hi, Mike.
Buzz.
The whole time you've been throwing your little asides in there. And
yes.
I'm sorry. We weren't hearing
you. You didn't miss much.
I didn't have the button pressed. Well, there he is, our friend, Officer Guy Friendly.
That's a smart shirt you're wearing today.
Why, thank you.
I like that.
Guy J. Birdley in the news cubicle. And welcome to the show, everybody. It is the 27th of October, Wednesday, and the phone number, 1-877-365-3636.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
We've got tons of stuff today. Real guests and stuff coming on the show.
Yes.
First, let me give you a brief update and also a glimpse into what it must be like to be me.
Oh, good. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Okay. This is my fabulous life. So Friday, this Friday, we're doing our Halloween show.
Right.
And you know we're doing Trick for Teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I almost screwed it up. Trick for Teeth.
Right.
And we're also going to do Bobbing for Boners.
Right.
Yes. Something for guys and something for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think somebody alluded on the show yesterday, my wife was not particularly comfortable with the Trick or Teeth.
That would be me, Don. I was the one that alluded to that. And
that was something that was never said on the air. That was a phone call I received during the commercial set one day.
That's right. And I think I brought it up yesterday when you were on the verge of canceling the Trick for Teeth. And
had no competitors.
Yeah, and I said, does this have anything to do with your wife? And you said, no, it didn't. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates open. We got all these women who are participating. But I know that there was that your wife wasn't happy about this.
No, she wasn't. Well, listen, we're doing the contest. We're doing it on Friday.
Good.
But I want to tell you the ridiculous compromise that I had to offer my sweet child bride of 18 years, who I thought had heard and seen just about everything on this show.
Yes.
So get home last night, sit down, she says, we have to talk. You know, right away when you're married and your wife says, we have to talk.
That's tough when you're right in the door, too, after the, a long day in the trenches.
First thing, we have to talk.
Right.
Mm. I did that with my Connor, Buzz. Like,
mm-hmm.
So sit down at the table. She says,
Let's talk about this show you're going to do Friday. Now, keep in mind, I know a lot of you think my wife is a ball buster, and granted, she is a ball buster.
Right.
But really, she gives me a very long leash doing this show.
She does. Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, it takes a lot of understanding to have your husband come in and do this kind of a show.
She very rarely honestly gets upset about something that happens on the show. Sometimes she'll call in because, like, she likes playing it up, but she's generally pretty cool.
Right.
Well, that's why this caught me off guard yesterday when she says, I just feel uncomfortable with you doing this trick or tease.
Mm.
And I said, why? Explain to me why, with all of the stuff that's happened on this show, honey, why this makes you feel uncomfortable. And I will give her credit that she actually came up with, at least from her standpoint, it seems to be logic. She says, when you do other stuff, it's always creative. Like, it's strip trivia, you know, the girls, they have to answer questions to take the clothes off. Or have girls jump into mud naked. Okay, you're being creative. And when you have your Las Vegas-style show, I understand that that's a show that you do in a club, in a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
She said that basically this is just girls coming down and taking their tops off, right?
Yes. Reaching into our sack.
And I said, yes. And she said, well, now, do they take their tops off if they don't win the money? And I said, no. And she said, do they take their tops off if they win the money? I said, honey, no matter what happens, the girls take the tops off.
Yeah, the price to get into the contest is to take the tops off.
Right. Right. Well, she said, and she very rarely says, she only pulls this trump card like once in a blue moon on me. She says, this makes me feel uncomfortable.
She doesn't like this.
And the bottom line is, my family matters more to me, of course, than doing the show, and I love my wife very much.
Sure.
But at the same time, I cannot cancel the bit that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where 18 years of marriage comes through.
This is your idea or hers?
Her idea.
All right.
Her idea. Although I endorse it.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, when the girls come in and they do their trick-or-treats, I shall be blindfolded. This was my wonderful wife's solution to the problem. And I said, listen, you know, it's your call. If this makes you feel more comfortable, mm-hmm. then, you know, I will go along. I will acquiesce.
You will be blindfolded?
Right. While the girls are taking their tops off. I said, do you want me to be blindfolded while the guys are bobbing for boners? She says, no, I don't care about that.
It doesn't matter. But
doesn't matter.
This is along the same. It's a similar thing. It's a little more extreme, but it's similar to when the decision was made that when the two-girl, three-girl shows would come in here, the subject would never be you. And
then
I piggybacked onto that, and we do not have anything to do, really. There's no physical contact between us and the strippers. We're married guys.
Right. I am reasoning my wife through this, and she says, no, wait. She says to me last night, she says, you got to admit, she says, this is my wife's thing. She says, I sit through a lot. I sit through strip trivia, and I'll give you that. That's a clever bit.
Right.
I sit through your Vegas-style shows. She says, and it used to be just a stripper would come in for the birthday.
Right.
Then it would be a two-girl show. Then it would be a three-girl show. Then now you have out-and-out live sex shows.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of been on an upward curve.
Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, well, honey, listen. You know, if this makes you happy,
sure.
Then, you know, by all means, I will be blindfolded on Friday. But the show will go on.
Huzzah!
That is a terrific sacrifice on your part.
We will have the trick or teats on Friday's episode. And the girls will be topless in here on Friday.
All right.
I sadly will have to live it the way that our listeners live it, mm-hmm. and the way that dude who won on Jeopardy lives it.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to live it through the telling of the tales by you, Mike, you, Buzz,
and you are, just to go on record here, I have to be non-blindfolded if you are blindfolded, correct, Don?
Yeah.
You're ordering me to not wear a blindfold.
Yes, and with no offense to Buzz.
Right.
There must be somebody piloting the ship.
Yes.
We cannot be like the Gilligan's Island ship just going off course. There can't be two.
Because I will tell you
there
that
there can't be two guys blindfolded in here on Friday.
Right. It may be 2 weeks, it may be a month, it may be a month and a half. At some point over dinner, I will hear these words. They will be direct. Well, at least he wore a blindfold. I will hear those words. I want you to know that.
Pull that out.
Yes.
The next time.
Right.
Your wife gives you a hard time. You wear the blindfold the next time.
Okay, cool. That's great.
I mean, it was this time. You know, this is where Frieda decided to draw the line in the sand.
I understand that. You have to put your priorities in line.
Well, there's no doubt. So anyway,
obviously.
So listen, the show goes on. That's the important news. And I got to sleep in the bedroom last night.
That's
which
good.
Is the second bit of great news.
That's very good.
I didn't have to sleep on the couch last night.
Hey, I understand. I mean, I think that we both have wives who are very understanding, and I think that at certain points, in time. You know, there's that. Yeah, there's that enough. You know, they don't like it. They don't like any of the crap we do on this show. That's normal. That's perfectly normal behavior. I think if you got a woman who was saying, "Oh, it doesn't bother me in the least," I think that now Buzz, you
like Marcia,
right? But see, if that bothers her.
I guess in the future,
of course that bothers. Of course it.
See,
bothers
I don't think
her.
It does. See, I think in the future, what I got to do. All I got to do in the future is just come up with cleverer ways to get this done.
You can do that.
When she had me, had me when she said, but the girls are really just coming in to take their time off.
I completely understand.
And I said, yeah. She said, there's no game. There's no the game of chance. They don't have to answer a question or anything.
Right.
I said, right. They just come in. They're just topless. She said, right. Makes her uncomfortable. You know, she has
every right to feel that.
She goes to school functions and stuff like that.
Sure.
And, I love her, so.
That's it.
So that's that.
Very good.
Now, having said that, how many women do we have signed up for Friday's episode?
How many women?
Robbie, you got the list?
Not.
All right, does Chuck Broyhill have the list?
Shotty Broyhill.
Well, we'll find out how many women we need, and then at some point today, we'll also open up the lines for the guys to let them bob for the boners, because the point of all of this is on Friday's episode.
I'm just realizing now that I'm thinking about it, because he told me this in the office before the show, and I'm realizing right now that in theory, there's theory and practice, and in theory, I know you're very accepting of this, and I think in practice it may be a little difficult for you. I mean, not that you know.
I think it will be too.
You know, I think we should go on record by saying yes, we enjoy the shows that come in here, but it's not really like we're going.
You know, I said to her last night.
Really not. That doesn't happen in here. That's why we get so many people to participate.
If I wanted that, I would go to a teat bar. You know, I said,
exactly.
It's for the show. It's for the show.
Right. But, you know, when the ooing and eyeing, like the first woman that comes in here, it's like, oh, my
I know
God,
it.
It's going to be very
I know
difficult.
It. I know it's going to be a real test.
That is true.
A real test of my devotion to my wife, and I will pass that test with flying colors.
Oh, I know you will.
And you know, with all the big mouths that will be in here on Friday, that if I don't, she'll hear about it, too. So no problem. Yes, Robbie?
It's looking like you'll have to pass 12 tests, because there are 12 girls signed up. But I'm sure there's room for more alternates.
I think 12 is a fine number.
Think yeah, not more? Four would be okay for you right now. Two.
No, you know what? I'll leave it in your capable hands, Mike.
Oh, no.
I feel comfortable
what
with 12.
What the hell am I doing? I feel like, you know, Buzz can handle this a lot better than I can.
I
don't like the role of
you
being
comfortable
the
with
number
12,
one
Buzz,
chief deviant in charge here.
I feel comfortable with 12.
I think 12 is a good number. If a couple drop out, we still have 10. But, yeah, 12 is an excellent start, I
think. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
I must. I feel I must at this point in time.
Right.
Because Don and I have wives with similar points of view on the subject of nudity, I believe, in the studio.
Right.
Your wife, it's always been understood, does not get phased. What are her comments?
I would just like to point out, though, that Buzz and Marcia are swappers.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
so
a long time
liberal,
ago,
once.
Okay. So the liberal attitude.
Whether it's once or 100 times, Buzz. Once you swap.
The liberal attitude is there.
You never
that.
Go back.
Yes. The liberal attitude is there.
When you come home, for example, after having all those various things strapped on your body.
Right.
What type of thing? I'm sure the subject comes up.
Yes. Yeah,
what are the, has she ever even come close to any kind of negative comment about
it? No, because you know why? And I not to cast any aspersions on, and in fact, I haven't even heard the full arguments from your wives about why they'd prefer not, and that's fine, because that's you. But
I know with me, part of it is because I have a kid. I have a kid in school.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sort of understand that. We don't have kids, you know, and
you have cats.
Mine is much simpler. My wife doesn't like the idea of me in here staring at naked women. Pure and simple. I've never asked her to go any further than that. You know, it's like I simply accept that. I pictured my wife was doing a radio show and a lot of men were coming in here showing their penises.
Uh-huh.
I think that I would probably be upset too, and I don't feel that I would need to give any explanation about that. But that's why I'm asking. You know what her comments are.
She knows I'm just looking and not touching, and that when the show is over,
well, almost always not touching.
I come home to mom. Well, certainly never in a lustful way.
No. Always just for the show.
Strictly just for the show.
For the show.
Okay.
But you're
wild, man.
But
I always come home to mama. I don't make love to any woman except my wife.
Okay. All right, that's it.
And she's happy with
me
that.
Either, Buzz.
Comfortable with
I don't
that.
Make love to any woman except your wife either. How about you, Mike?
Only Buzz's wife.
Right.
That's it.
Well, we're all in agreement. Okay, then I guess we have enough women. At some point, we'll open up the lines for the guys to call in.
Yeah, I love the show when it gets real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is real. This is a real moment. And I know
it's very real.
I know you're making a sacrifice here. Not like it's a real sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice for the show, in a way. Because, I mean, you know, if you were here offering your expert commentary, which only you can do, it would be better. But I think that I like the reality of it. I know that this is a neat compromise, and I know it's probably making your wife feel better.
Well, I hope so.
Good.
I hope so.
I'm debating whether I should just call her up right now. Or if
I'd love to hear from her. I really think the audience would love to hear from her, too. I mean, I just, to tie that up into a nice little bow.
Okay. I just hope it doesn't make it worse.
We're talking to her?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, that's good point.
Sometimes that does happen.
That is true.
All right, there is an element of danger there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll accept that risk.
All right.
Well, maybe I'll be off the hook.
Maybe she's got the phone off the hook.
Why? Now, why would she possibly have that?
No, she doesn't.
She's aware of what you're doing.
Yeah, right? She absolutely she is.
All right, well, hold on. Let me try her car.
Oh, man.
I'm surprised she hasn't called it herself, as a matter of fact. This was such a top-of-mind issue with her yesterday when I got home.
She might have all the phones turned off and just be sitting in her car quietly smiling.
I mean, I almost missed the Jim Gray apology.
Hi, I'm not on my cell phone right now. Please leave a message if it's important.
No need for that.
No need for that.
I'm sure she'll call it.
Of course she will.
So anyway, the news is show's on for Friday.
Good. Hey,
that's great. Next item for your perusal, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
hold on.
Telephone.
I just saw the bright light go on.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Boo-Boo.
Hey, baby, I just tried to call you.
I heard that. All is well. No need to fear.
Right.
That's good. See, I thought she'd be happy.
There's nothing to fear but Frida herself.
Yeah.
As I've often said.
We have a marriage of compromise, and we came to an agreement.
Yes, we did.
I just didn't want it to be like two little boys feeling like they're king of the world can ask for girls to come down and show their you-know-what, and it just seemed a little seedy. I mean...
I understand. We went through this whole thing last night. Understood. Love you.
Well, I love you too, Bill.
Love you. Okay.
Okay.
Robbie's gonna... Now, listen, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
As far as the blindfold goes,
yeah?
Do you want it to be a neckerchief, a kerchief, like a red kerchief, or do you want it to be one of those jobbers like...
I can bring the thing back in that I put on Dennis Murphy.
Like sleep mask.
It hasn't been laundered yet.
I would like a new one. I was going to send Rod out to the store to buy me one of those new sleep masks.
Mm-hmm.
That meet with your...
Well, you know what?
That meet with your approval?
I'm not going to get... Because...
Well, honey, your phone's breaking up. Start over.
I'm not going to stress about that, because in reality, you could peek. I mean, you could.
Yes, I
trust you.
But I will not. I'm telling you now, I won't.
Right.
Like I told you last night.
I trust you to have a blindfold that works.
An adequate blindfold.
Yes. I just trust
you. Okay, Robbie, give me some saran wrap.
Got it.
No, it'll be a real blindfold. Promise. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
And I think it'll be much more entertaining then with blind. And, of course, that means no other senses that are amplified because you don't have...
Oh, right. Oh, gee, you mean I can't kiss?
No touching, honey, smelling, kissing.
Have I ever done that?
No, you've never touched. No smelling. Even listening extra good.
Honey, you got to let me listen.
Well, you can listen, but just regular. I don't want your other senses to take over.
No, I can listen 100%. As a matter of fact, I will have extra hearing powers.
Right.
It's like that fairy tale they say when you're blind, that your other...
it's not a fairy tale.
Your other senses actually...
That's true. They take over. They compensate for your loss of vision.
Oh, listen, I got to tell you something. My wife's on the phone. She was watching the Today Show with me today.
Yes. Right.
You know the blind guy from Jeopardy who we were supposed to have on yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we figured out why he wasn't on the show yesterday.
Why?
Because yesterday he was on his way to New York where he was, preparing for his shot on the Today Show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Today, we saw him today on TV.
Yeah? Yeah. What happened?
Well, nothing happened to him. He's just not. He's not a handsome man.
Oh, I've seen pictures of him. No,
blind. No, you got to see him at birth.
No, but I know what you're talking about. But the eyes too. Because
it's nothing to do with his eyes, right?
It's not just the eyes. You know, I didn't realize. I didn't even know he was blind. He just came on TV, and I said to my husband, "Oh, a good-looking guy." You know,
I may have seen him last night. Is this the gentleman whose face is actually smaller than his head?
Yes, and
yeah,
he had like a giant dent in the side of his head.
Right,
a giant indentation.
Well, you know, the fact that he's not attractive, it doesn't matter to him at all.
Oh, I know, yeah. No. Yeah, he's never,
he doesn't care.
It's not like he's ever seen himself in a mirror.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
But you feel bad because I just saw this guy come on TV, so, you know, you feel perfectly fine making fun of somebody until you realize, you know, that
he's blind.
That he's handicapped a little bit, but, you know, he makes you guys look like Mel Gibson, which is, you know.
Oh, well, thank you for that compliment.
I mean,
thank you for the high compliment.
That's a lame compliment.
And I'm sure to him you are Michelle Pfeiffer, okay?
I sure am. You're exactly right.
Okay, all right. Goodbye.
But anyway, be like him.
Be like him. Oh, I will on Friday, I promise.
Okay,
love you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye, all right, boo.
It reminds me of my sister's wedding reception. My cousin Billy and I were sitting there talking, and I think it was Sam or somebody else, some friend of mine. And the sax player comes down, and it's a really cloudy day. It was very dark, cloudy, and he had the saxophone and these sunglasses on. I said, God, look at that guy. What's he wearing the shades for? Was he blind? Like that. The whole afternoon went on, and suddenly we saw somebody assisting him up the stairs at the end of the reception, and we realized he was blind.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to those things.
Okay, now let me just get through the obligatory calls, of course, with guys telling me that I'm a pussy.
No, I'm not good. That's not right now.
No, I'll entertain this, though, just because we have an honest show. Kelly. Buddy.
Mike, dude, I can't believe you're sissying out. I've never heard you sissy out like this before.
Are you married, sir? Are you married?
I couldn't do anything that you guys do.
He couldn't do anything that we do.
Well,
all right, so that's the guys are like that. You know, they'll call another guy a pussy, and then immediately when you challenge him, they're like, oh, man, no, I couldn't do that.
Well, listen, I've been married to her for 18 years, and she really doesn't ask too much.
That's
one,
true.
One bit on Friday. What's the matter to you? You're still going to hear it. The girls are still going to be topless.
Hey, that's true. I'm just calling you on it. That's, I listen to you faithfully, and I just wanted
this
to call you on
the
it.
The category of playful joshing,
show.
Right?
Just a ball doctor. Okay, all right, I got you. All right, here is Jared.
Yeah, hey, I got a question.
Yeah, Jared.
Why does it matter if the girls are playing games or not? You still see naked women that you don't even know. You know what I mean? What's the difference if they're playing a game?
Now, this would not be busting your balls as much as this would be your defense attorney calling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, listen, my defense attorney is Mr. Donald Ephraim from Chicago. I don't need a defense attorney. I feel that I litigated this case with my wife last night at the dinner table to a satisfactory conclusion for both sides.
Yeah, probably. I probably got some last night, too.
And, yeah, I got some last night.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right about that.
All right, man.
I got a big heaping spoonful
good.
Last night, as a matter of fact.
That's you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're in here for 4.5 hours a day. You know, we're with our wives for a hell of a lot longer than that.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you, bye-bye. All right, I will just accept one more call on this, and then we will change the topic. Jim.
Don.
Yeah.
You pussies.
Right.
Oh, buddy.
Buddy. Listen, let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
What does it matter to you, because you're still going to hear the naked girls on the show.
I know. It just,
And have you ever done anything to make your wife happy?
Occasionally, but...
Okay, well, then...
Sometimes you gotta take the stand. I mean, I can...
Like, I don't take a stand with my wife. How long have you been married?
11 years.
Okay, when you get to 18... Then you can call me up. And
okay.
When you have taken, I would guess that I've taken more stands against my wife in the last 30 minutes on this show than you've taken in the last 11 years you've been married.
I don't know about that, but that's fair enough. I mean, you know, hey, you gotta take a stand occasionally. And
if you're married that long, you also realize at the end of the time, I mean, really, it's not about taking stands, to be honest with you. It really is about compromise. Because
right.
if you have one person who's always taking stands, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And you might think that you've won all those big ones, but really, at the end of the day, things are going to turn to S anyway.
Hey, listen, I don't care if you think I'm a pussy. I love my wife, and her opinion matters to me.
Hey.
And that's all I have to say on the topic.
Hey, you got balls on the subject. I'll give you props for that.
I got huge balls.
All right,
I'll feel I'm going to squash you with one of my giant balls now.
What's that smell?
One of my big gargantuan balls.
Hey, somebody's cooking bread.
One of my balls. Okay, next topic. Oh, is this really George McFly on the phone? Now, it says George McFly, line 3, but claims to be an Amway salesman.
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know either. I don't know. Mm. He can just wait a second.
Hey, speaking of that Amway, I finally saw that movie you recommended on Facebook.
Go.
Oh, shit.
That's an excellent movie, isn't it?
Great movie. Where'd that movie go? I mean, was that in the theaters?
If you'll pardon the pun, where did it go? Right? I don't know. I mean,
it was like Pulp Fiction without the carnage, really. And, I mean, it was Pulp Fiction with just kind of a weirder... It was kind of a happy ending.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
Riveting movie.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Good recommendation.
Yeah, fantastic movie.
Movie Go with Jay Moore.
Yeah, really, really unique. And, you know, they compare it to Pulp Fiction because there's certain techniques of, like, you revisit scenes like Pulp Fiction. But
right.
Other than that, it's its own movie. And, Yeah, the characters of that movie crack me up.
Oh, let me just see if this is George. I got something else I want to talk about. Let me just see if this is George, though. Hello, hello, George?
I know what you're going to do, because it is me, and you're going to put me back on hold, but I don't care.
Yeah, I am.
Because that's the only way I can hear you anyway.
What do you mean it's the only way you can hear me? Don't you have a radio, George?
Well, nothing that comes in good. I drove around for 3 hours listening to you on 970 here in Spokane.
George, 970. George, you are dyslexic. It's 790.
Yeah, but here's what happened. I thought it was, I mean, I swear to God, it was a clone of Mike's voice. Hi, Mike.
Hi, George.
And, but he's interviewing some Jesus freak. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is going a little long, and they're literally getting into it very seriously.
Where were you yesterday, when we called yesterday?
Well, I mean, I told you I was on the other line, but I was driving around trying to listen to you guys.
Why did you just get a radio in your house?
I do. I just bought a $175 boombox, but I don't know how to put on the AM antenna.
What?
There's an AM antenna. It looks like a square or something, and I don't know how to put it on.
Okay, but you knew that we were going to call you yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Right.
How's it going at the new job, George?
It's going good, and I'm sorry about that. I mean, I feel like an idiot, but what you just wanted to do before I started talking is you wanted to come and see if it was me, then put me on hold again, right?
Right. Okay, so hold on, okay?
All right, thank you. Well, it is, in fact, George.
Good. We will give him his airtime in just a moment.
The pillar of security.
My disc jockey protege. Hey, the one thing I did want to get to before we have to do a break, and then, you know, count on us counseling George for about an hour of today's show.
Very good.
I didn't want to get to this Jim Gray thing, because, it cracked my ass up last
night.
Two parts. First, Jim Gray's apology, okay, is very heartfelt apology.
Real sensitive.
In which he apologizes not to Pete Rose, not the guy he should have apologized to.
To the fans.
But the second part of this is the best. And it's the only reason I stayed up to watch the goddamn Yankee game last night. I could give a rat's ass about the New York Yankees.
How about those Yankees, huh?
But
my God.
The end of the game, the guy who hits a home run, this guy who comes off the bench, a real nobody.
Chad Curtis,
hits the home run, Yankees win the game. He's standing in the interview set. And Bob Costas is talking about the game, and he goes, okay, Chad McGillicuddy, who hit the home run, he's down there with our man Jim Gray right now. And on camera, he's standing there waiting to go on. He disses Jim Gray on camera. Mm-hmm. So here's the Jim Gray apology that aired before the game last night on NBC. Everybody knows the Jim Gray, Pete Rose thing.
Sure,
you talked about it a lot this week.
All right, Jim, just about everybody watching tonight either saw or has heard about your interview with Pete Rose following the All-Century Team celebration on Sunday night in Atlanta. You had something you wanted to say about that.
Oh, yes, Bob. After viewing the videotape, I can understand the reaction of many baseball fans. I thought that it was important to ask Pete Rose if this was the right moment for him to make an apology.
I just would like to point out, that...
That's right, Bob.
Our apologies to the Hispanic communities we had to do a couple of weeks ago were much more heartfelt than this.
Absolutely.
And if you could look at the guy's face, he's just reading off a prompter.
I know.
And Bob Costas goes, and Jim, isn't there something else you'd like to say?
Yeah, written by, the legal firm.
Right.
If in doing so, the interview went on too long and took out some of the joy of the occasion, then I want to say to baseball fans everywhere that I am very sorry about this. Bob?
Jim, thanks very much.
Yeah,
we're back.
That's him all the way. That's him all the way.
Back
after this.
I'm very sorry about this.
So he gives his lame apology. And then the game goes on, and in the bottom of the 10th, or whatever ridiculous inning it is, at midnight, the guy for the Yankees hits the home run.
Right.
And then Bob Costas says, okay, and we've got him down on the field now with our Jim Gray. And here's what he said to Jim Gray.
Thank you very much, Bob. Dad, tell us about that pitch. I couldn't do it. As a team, we kind of decided that, because of what happened with Pete, we're not going to talk out here on the field. I do want to say that was for you, though, Grandma. Thanks.
And Chad, you don't want to talk about the home run? All right, Bob. Back upstairs to you.
It's the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in sports TV.
Sure.
That they set Jim Gray up, that the guy is standing on the field. Standing on the field next to Jim Gray, waiting to be interviewed. Jim Gray says, how do you feel about the home run? He says, hey, we decided not to talk to you.
Yeah.
I want to say that was for you.
So he stands next to him.
Right? Yeah.
Setting him up the whole way.
Yeah. Right. Then he says, I want to say that's for you, Grandma. And as Jim Gray's turning, go, don't you want to make another comment? The guy turns and walks away.
Yeah, really.
And then he goes, back to you, Bob. And Bob Costas offers
Nothing.
Right.
I mean, Bob Costas does not even address the fact that this guy from the Yankees...
They were totally thrown for a loop.
Just dissed him.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is the reason, the sole reason I'll be watching the game tonight.
Absolutely.
Sure. Because tonight... You realize that the Yankees win, and I think we all know that they're going
to. Yeah, but they're going to have to bring another guy in to
do
that.
Jim Gray, they've already announced, NBC's already announced, Jim Gray is going to be the guy in the locker room who has to give the trophy to George Steinbrenner and to Joe Torre.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Some good drama.
Yeah, excellent drama.
Some good drama.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Thank you very much, Bob. Chad, tell us about that pitch.
I couldn't do it. You know, as a team, we kind of decided that, you know, because of what happened with Pete, we're not going to talk out here on the field. I do want to say that was for you, though, Grandma. Thanks.
And Chad, you don't want to talk about the home run? All right, Bob. Back upstairs to you.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
It was a great moment. You know, Pete Rose got to be loving the support the Yankees are giving, I'm sure.
You know, and as we've discussed many times this week on the show already, before all of this happened, I was the king of the Pete Rose is a prick fan club.
Sure, absolutely.
But Jim Gray managed somehow to turn that around.
Wow.
Okay, and...
you know, I don't mind him not talking to him. I'm not sure whether, even with Jim Gray being the little germ that he is, doing it, you know, setting him up like that to do it, it's one thing if you don't talk to them, but they obviously had to prearrange that. You know, when they do that, what's about 20 seconds, usually 30 seconds from the guy standing next to them?
That the Yankees had a team meeting.
Right.
And they decided before the game, whoever it was that was to be interviewed by Jim Gray, whoever it was
going to make that statement,
would go out and stand there and then, you know, verbally kick him in the nads.
Right.
And then turn and walk away.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great.
I wonder now if they'll hold on to that for the rest of the series. It'll be interesting to see if they, especially if they win the thing tonight.
Oh, yeah, they will, please. Oh, here's a guy that saw it. Richard, Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Richard.
Hey.
Hey.
It was beautiful. Curtis was already gone. He was in the dugout when Jim Gray turned to him and said, "You don't want to talk about the home run?" He was he's talking to his back. It was beautiful.
And then when they went to Bob Costas, you know, I really expected that Bob Costas would have some witty aside, Bob Costas acted like it didn't happen. Okay, thank you, Jim. Once again, the score, the Bronx Bombers, 6.
Yeah, that's the way you decided to play it,
the Atlanta Braves, 5.
Wow.
It's a great moment.
A little subplot, you know, in an otherwise, you know, pretty boring World Series.
And I've got one other sports note here, and I've got to think that this is the power of the Don and Mike radio show. Mm-hmm. You remember back to Friday's episode? We had Rudy Martsky. Here he is on page 2 of USA Today Sports. Rudy has the sports on TV column.
Right.
Rudy was on the show Friday doing his weekly bit.
Some mind blower.
And Rudy was very opinionated. I mean, said stuff like that Mike Ditka was going to be on Monday Night Football next year. And
really said some nasty things about Boomer Esiason. I mean, to the point of calling him a failure on our show.
Quote.
Yeah, he called him a failure.
A total failure.
Total failure. And, you know, we kind of were wondering, what did Boomer Esiason ever do to Rudy Martsky?
Right, he was like, out of the blue, Boomer Esiason is called by Rudy a total failure.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy says he's awful. He's a total failure. Well, in today's USA Today.
This is amazing. This is where being a writer is an advantage, because you can go on the TV shows, you can go on the radio shows, and then you can go back and do this in your column.
Keep in mind that on Friday's show, right here, unsolicited from us, Rudy offered up the gem that Boomer Esiason is a total failure.
Right. Obviously, in this Monday Night Football game, there was some amazing turnaround.
Well, he writes, "Give the comeback award to ABC's Boomer Esiason." On Monday Night Football, Atlanta-Pittsburgh, Esiason's problems in his adjustment to the two-man booth disappeared. He meshed with Al Michaels, easily tossed out one-liners, and often questioned the decision-making of quarterback Cordell Stewart.
Was that in Atlanta, that game?
No, it was in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Game was in Pittsburgh. But the theory here is that somehow somebody who heard this show Friday called Boomer Esiason.
Right.
Boomer Esiason called Rudy.
So what the hell are you talking about?
Did you say I'm a total failure?
I'd love to talk to Rudy about that.
Well, we're trying to get both Rudy and Boomer Esiason on the show this Friday.
Fantastic. Love to hear about that.
We're going to try to get the face-to-face going.
That would be wonderful.
Jesus Christ.
Very awkward moment.
Ain't that something?
It's such a total turnaround. I mean, Rudy has dissed guys like Summerall. You know, he's said things like, hey, you know, Pat has slipped a little bit in that particular game. He never came out and ever, in my memory, ever really totally totally torpedoed a guy like
he's a
Boomer.
Total failure.
He's a total failure. They're going to bring my dick in. I don't think Boomer will leave me around next year. You know, and then to read this column.
Comeback Award.
The Comeback Award. He threw out easy one-liners, messed with Al Michaels. Boy, what an incredible turnaround.
And please, I watched that game on Monday night.
Boomer of Science. I saw a little of that game, too. It wasn't, you know.
He was just as bad as he always is. I mean, he's not great. He's not bad.
I never agreed with Rudy. I never thought Boomer was all that bad. And I thought Dan Dierdorf really gave him too much. Dan Dierdorf made that rookie season for Boomer Esiason in the broadcast booth as difficult as any rookie season in broadcast.
I think that Boomer Esiason is very cliche-ridden.
Yeah.
But he is no worse than any of the guys that you see doing the crappy games on Fox, like a Carolina and New Orleans game.
I think Boomer Esiason is going to be just like Phil Simms. I really do. I think Boomer Esiason is going to get better and better and better. I really do.
Well,
Rudy, though, said he's a total finish. Yeah. Now he's the comeback kid.
Comeback award to Boomer Esiason. Talked to Rudy today. I didn't talk. Boy, he'll talk to him.
Right.
I told him if Rudy really wants to be a hero, on Friday's episode, we do our sports thing. Mm-hmm. He'll have Boomer Esiason on one line and Jim Gray on the other line.
Oh, boy, I tell you.
That would be a doubleheader to die for, huh?
What's the Jim Gray's been on this show? Three, four times? Four times.
More than that. Well, I think if you count all the times that he dissed us, maybe seven or eight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there have been three or four times that he was supposed to call, or he would call and he would do that fake, hey, Donna Mike, my car phone's breaking up. And then he would hang up on us. So we got a little bit of history with Mr. Jim Gray.
You know, I
got
to think the Yankees did that for, you know, I'm sure it was the Pete Rose thing. But if this was, if this was a guy that maybe had a good rap with the players in the clubhouse under normal circumstances.
Well, they all hate him anyway.
They just don't like the guy.
Right. You know,
you can see, we caught him on a bad day. We didn't like the guy.
And it really is that gang mentality. And I know that mentality exists because I'm in one of those gangs right now, here.
Absolutely.
At this radio station.
Sure.
And if anybody gets mad at somebody, it's very, very easy for everybody else to get mad at that person.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's the way it works. Right. We're like a pack of hungry wolves.
But you got nothing to do with it. Right. Like the way, let me give you an example. I was out at Redskins Park today doing some interviews for the Redskins pregame show. You should see how the way the Redskins players really hate the media.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, because, you know, in their minds, the media are the guys that write the bad stuff about them.
Yeah, they're the guys that don't walk the walk.
Right.
You know, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
Guys that can't play the game, so that they write about the game.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm so lucky, because I'm able to walk that fine line. It's like, you know, I'm there, but they know I'm there like on a goof.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
So they all
know what your real job is.
Yeah, they all treat me real nice.
Right.
And I especially want to say hi to North Turner.
Okay.
Coach of the Redskins.
Sure.
Pulled me aside today.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me a little inside info on the team that I've been sworn to secrecy on.
Really?
Very but nice. It's nice to know that North considers me one of his inside guys.
And it was confidant.
It was very, very nice. I was just sitting in this big interview area waiting to talk to some coach, and there was about 30 reporters, today's media there at Redskins Park, about 30 reporters, and they're all just standing around looking at Norv, right?
Right.
And he wouldn't talk to any of them, and he walked around the corner back by the kitchen, and he came back through, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, Don, come here for a minute. And it's like I go, ha-ha. He picked me,
right,
and not you writer guys. I got to go behind the closed door and have a little conversation with Norv.
Excellent. Got a little inside info.
With the Norvster, yeah. The info magma.
Was it jaw-dropping info?
A little magma. No, I don't think you'd consider it jaw-dropping, just some real insider information.
Excellent.
And I don't doubt that it's Norv's way of testing me, because he made a poison. I don't want to hear this on the radio today.
That's right.
Sorry, Mike. I will tell you during the commercial.
Good.
I promise I'll tell you during the commercial.
Yeah, so I'm dying of curiosity, so I'll refrain from questioning you on the air, because I know that would put you in a compromising position.
No, it was just about some stuff that happened after the game this week.
If you put your blindfold on, can you tell me on the air?
No, I can't. I cannot, but I just want to, you know, give him the public thumbs up. That Norm's a good guy. I appreciate the fact he treats me so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Toe-tapping touchstones right there. Let's clear these lines out. Leave George on, though. Leave George on line three.
George McFly.
Everybody else, it's time for the secret sound. This is really the impossible sound, and I'm afraid that we're going to have to up the ante.
All right.
Yeah. Let's make this one worth $600.
Good. Ken's in the building today. Hear that stomp on the floor? I just heard it.
$600 if you can identify secret sound number 7. Call the Rockhead right now on our toll-free line at 1-877-365-3636. Maggie Snyder, buddy.
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon, and the great Northeast. It's exactly 1 o'clock. You're hearing the show on Guy Talk, 1010, KGUY, Portland, Oregon.
No, no, no. Actually, the thing is, I'm sorry. Here's Don and Mike.
Excuse me, it's Northwest.
Yeah, Pacific Northwest.
Right. It's not the Great Northeast, it's the Great Northwest, right?
The Great Northwest. Well, it's the Pacific Northwest. Yeah.
I think they call it the Great Northwest.
They call it the Great, or the Canada, they call it the Great White North.
I think they call it the Great Northwest. I think that's what people up there call it.
The Great Northwest?
See, that's a great thing about having a national show.
The Northwest Territory.
I don't know dick about anything.
Lewis and Clark and all that. Right.
We're on all these cities, though.
I didn't pay attention at that part of history.
I know this. Upper left hand.
Right?
Oregon.
Got it.
Cool. Beautiful country. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take Portland the block. If we were playing Hollywood Squares, Portland would be the upper left.
We would be the show from Portland to Portland.
That's right.
Portland,
right.
Maine to Portland, Oregon.
And generally speaking, on Hollywood Squares, your upper left, very powerful square.
Absolutely, and we're counting on Portland to be that powerful square.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Where? Yeah, Johnny B. Caller 100.
Right, you are the 100th caller. What's your name?
Jack.
Jack?
Hello?
Yeah. One of the off boys.
Yeah.
Jack, will you turn that radio down, please?
Okay. All right.
Alright. How you doing today, Jack?
Okay.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from a truck.
Oh, how about a city, Jack?
Yeah.
What city are you calling from, Jack?
Oh, I'm around Owens Mills.
Owens Mills.
Okay.
You know, you know what? Just for you, I'm gonna make just a one-time offer on this. I'm gonna go 10 times the amount on the secret sound. Because I'm so confident that you don't have a chance.
You're a gambler. So what are you offering?
$6,000.
$6,000 if this gentleman guesses the secret sound.
$6,000. I've just got a feeling about you, Jack.
Oh, yeah, I got
that's
it.
That's a mighty boy, I tell you. Why don't, you know, if the miracle occurred,
yeah,
then you'd be upstairs on the third floor.
I know. If you win that money, I'll be paying it myself, incidentally.
So this is really for six. If you say it, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
$6,000.
I think it's a safe bet because this guy does not sound like the brightest contest player we've ever had.
Well, you know, you've never heard of dumb luck?
Yeah, well, yes, I have.
Right.
Well, first let me tell you, Jack, you won a pair of tickets to WWF Raw is War at MCI Center November 1st.
All right.
Plus packets to the passes. I'm thinking about going 20 on this. A special WWF free party at MVP Sports Bar, courtesy of Cox Cable, Top Event, and the WWF. All right. So actually, you're a very special guy, Jack. I really feel good about you, and I'm going to do 10 times the normal prize, meaning you will be playing for $6,000.
Are you feeling confident, Jack?
Well, when you raise it up like that, I'm pretty sure I'm not too confident.
Have you heard the sound before, Jack?
Yeah, but I'd like to hear it again.
Now, for $6,000, I'm afraid I'm just going to give you the one listen.
That's fair.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready, sir?
Ready.
For $6,000. Impossible is the dumbest thing I've ever said. Good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill.
Caller, name this noise.
There's the noise.
And now we give you 15 seconds to think about it. Meanwhile, on the third floor, I'm positive Ken's pissed right now. Oh, did he just offer $6,000? Well, those guys are already tremendously over budget.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Ken's, you know, here today. I'd love to see the reaction.
Well, 10 times the normal prize. That's how little faith I have in you, Jack. What is secret sound number 7?
I think it's opening up a bag of chips.
Would you please repeat that?
Opening up a bag of chips.
Way right. to go. You know?
Oh, we're sorry.
You're really an expert in risk management.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I was taking a giant risk after interviewing Jack. After the pre-interview.
Opening up a bag of chips. Well, you know, you're limited to your frame of reference.
All right, Jack. That was not, unfortunately, a guess for everybody else, a clue. As we like saying, every guess is a clue
for you.
That was so off the map that I don't think that counts. But, Jack, thank you for your patronage, and thank you for listening, my friend.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jack, I'm all right.
Kind of had a hunch about him.
I'm all right.
You might hear me making some wild, wild gambles like that from time to time.
I think it adds excitement and spice to the contest
sure.
at hand.
Just to keep the interest up.
It's wonderful.
And, you know, I only wish that I could reserve the ride if we had someone who I thought was really on the ball
sure.
to reduce the prize.
Yeah, you sound like you were really on the stick.
We're reducing the price to a dollar.
I wish. Okay, well, the next time we do it again, it'll be worth $600.
Yes, and you will not get the multiple factor that Jack got.
Right. No, you won't get Jack.
You won't get Jack, man.
Before we talk to George McFly, let me make sure he's there. George?
Can I guess?
All right, hold on, please. George, this is just a little comeuppance for George.
I guess a no.
Because he's made us wait the last couple of days.
Yes.
I did want to give you the latest from the Dennis Murphy file.
Mm-hmm.
We have a two-parter on Dennis today.
Right.
First, we received this from our station in Iowa City, Iowa, KCJJ.
KCJJ.
Dear Don and Mike, have you heard? Dennis Murphy will be a part of the official KCJJ End of the World Party. To be held here in Iowa City midnight on December 31st.
They love Dennis in Iowa.
So someone's booked Dennis for a New Year's Eve gig.
Right? Fantastic.
We're flying him in. We have a room for him, and he's getting paid. We'll let you know as soon as we have more details. We love your show and glad you're on 10,000 Watt KCJJ. That comes from Captain Steve.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, Captain Steve. And that brings me to my other Dennis Murphy note.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last week on the show when Tim McWilliams was in here singing?
Yeah.
Okay. And originally the reason I brought Tim in is because Tim signed my wife to do a commercial.
Right.
You know, orange, this is Fruita. And then Tim mentioned that he wanted to sign my son up to do a commercial.
Right.
And I got a little agitated, and I said, absolutely not. My kid's not going to be Cody Gifford. He can't do a commercial.
Right.
Well, everything was fine, and Tim left the studio.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, after we got done with Tim on the air, guess who called Tim's voicemail and thought that he would offer his services?
No surprise, Dennis Murphy.
As a commercial spokesman.
Sure, Dennis Murphy, always the entrepreneur.
And here now from Tim McWilliams' voicemail is the latest installment of Dennis the Whore. Let's roll it, please.
Hello, Tim. I'm going to get a commercial. How you going? I just want to let you know, if you have any clients you need commercial for, I would love to do a commercial for one of your clients. And,
well said.
I'm not that expensive, and I have done commercials before. I have sold bicycles, and that ad went over pretty well. Also, I have sold television.
He's telling the truth, right?
For a appliance store, you know, I've done commercials for them, so, and by the way, great singing today on the Donovan
show,
and
he's got the schmoo.
Have a good day, and feel it. Bye.
No, I need to leave his phone number, though.
Very smoothly done, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis Murphy with his smooth approach, and hey, nice singing today.
If you need someone to do commercials.
Right.
I've done commercials for bicycles.
That is Master Pitchman Dennis Murphy.
Hello, Tim. I'm just getting a commercial. How you doing? I just want to let you know, if you have any clients you need commercials for, I would love to do a commercial for one of your clients.
How could Tim turn this down?
Oh, I mean, I think it's a tremendous sales pitch. And Tim respects a good sales pitch.
Sure.
You know, I'm not that expensive, and I have done commercials before. I have sold bicycles, and that ad went over pretty well.
Okay.
Also, I have sold television for clients.
Dennis, you should have mentioned you also sold your underpants one night on the corner up at McDonald's.
He sold thousands of dollars worth of T-shirts.
Sure. Right. And don't forget his Christmas CD.
Don't forget that bar out somewhere that he does. Where? Greenville.
Right, Greenville. He's toast of Greenville.
And absolutely. A tanning place. He did some tanning commercials.
I've done commercials for them. So, and by the way, great singing today on the Don and Mike show. And I hope
you
speak with you soon. Have a good day and feel it.
Businessman, Dennis Murphy.
He's showing a lot of initiative.
Sure.
Much closer to that guy since he slept at my house.
He's trying to seize the moment.
Seize the day, Dennis.
The Donald Trump of Greenbelt, Maryland.
And you know.
Dennis Murphy.
Mr. Exploit Everybody back there. I know he farmed it out to you. He gave you the tape, and I'm sure he said, hey, Don, you want to do something with this? But, like, the other side of Tim McWilliams' brain is probably going,
Hey, you know, there's this one guy down on the turnpike.
I think you'd be hard-pressed. That would be a true challenge if Tim could find a client for Dennis here.
I'd like to throw down that challenge to Mr. Tim McWilliams.
He can do it.
Tim, I would like you to find a client for Dennis Murphy.
Yeah, hello, is this, Mark's, corrective shoes? Hello, this is Tim McWilliams. I think I may have a spokesman for you.
And here's, of course, the man now. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Hi, Dennis.
Apparently you didn't like my pick, did you?
No, on the contrary. I thought that was a great pitch.
It was a lovely story.
Also, I forgot to tell him that I did a commercial for Saskatoon in Greenville.
Saskatoon. You too. There it is. Right. I think you've been a wonderful pitchman for them.
Well, I'm surprised that Tim has not called you yet back yet, Dennis.
Well, I'm surprised too, but hopefully Saskatoon could call me back for another round of commercials.
Right. I'm sure they will.
All right. See you, Dennis.
Hey, so what do you think about this New Year's Bash?
Do you mean your Iowa City gig?
Yeah.
Oh, we're all for it. Good for you. I'm glad you got a gig.
Thank you, Don. And, like, I owe my success to you.
I think it's going
to
be stardom for you at a Millennium New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Iowa City, Iowa, and on New Year's Eve.
For all those people in Iowa City, that is the true sign that the world's coming to an end. You go to a party, and isn't Dennis Murphy up on stage?
Yeah, if God is really making that final decision to blow up the world, you know, that's where he's going to point his finger.
Kiss your ass goodbye.
Absolutely.
When you see the sweaty ball of flesh that is right. Dennis Murphy in a tuxedo on New Year's Eve. When he's ringing in your new year, get ready for large cracks in the Earth's surface.
Sure. Dennis, you gotta,
sweat.
Dennis, you gotta tell
you
him.
Oh, you don't sweat.
You're a chronic sweater, and you should tell him to get you a date.
Well, hopefully, if I'm in Iowa City, I'll be available.
I don't think they should get you a date. I think they should buy you a hooker.
Yeah, I think you should be with a very expensive call girl.
That's fine with me.
All right. Goodbye, Dennis.
I'm very easy.
I know you are. Bye.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, Dennis?
So, I need some tips on how to do a commercial. Can you?
Goodbye.
Bye,
now.
Dennis.
Bye.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Dennis Murphy, that is so funny. He is always selling.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I got the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He calls a radio station, lets it ring for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I got the wrong number.
He says I got the wrong number.
There you
hello,
go.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hi there.
I think I might want to hire Dennis Murphy to do a spot for me on WJFK.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what kind of business do you have?
I'm a locksmith.
Why does that make you laugh?
I don't know, but it does.
Why did that instantaneously make us laugh?
Well, if you really would like to buy a commercial schedule, you should call to the sales office and ask for Tim McWilliams.
Well, I think I'm really serious. I'd like to do that. I just didn't have his number. I had this number, but...
Well, look it up in the phone book.
Yeah, they're in the directory.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. He's hanging up the phone right now, and he's saying to himself, I'll tell you right now, I called them up, and they didn't even give me the main number. How the hell am I going to buy a schedule on that station?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, oops. Oh, where's George? Oh, here he is. Okay. George!
Bottle it, stick it in an IV, hook me up.
Pardon me?
What does that mean, George? You're talking in that strange speak you
bottle
always
bottle it, stick it in an IV... Hook me up. I noticed since I've been listening for the past hour,
yes,
your endorphins are secreting, and I've been getting to know you guys for the past 11, 12 years, and I noticed that you guys have been celebrating life so much that it's easy to be euphoric. Jolly, almost. Like every day's Christmas. That's why I didn't call you for a year, Don, because I wasn't in that mode.
Yeah, George, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't mention this to you off the air, because, frankly, it's easier sometimes to talk to you on the radio
right
than off the radio. I was actually hurt by the fact that I had talked to you for regular chats all the way for 2 years.
I know.
Put in the wood for you to get the gig in Chicago. The last I hear is that you're off, and then, boom, you drop off the face of the earth. For a whole year, I don't hear one goddamn word from you.
But it had nothing to do with professional reasons or lack of... gratitude for getting me the gig. First of all, I didn't know
that. It's not the gratitude, man. I just, you know, I worry about you, George. I want to make sure you're doing okay.
But see, at the same time, and it's terrible because I was thinking, well, thank you, because personally, if I didn't take your advice, I would be single right now in a major market in a concrete jungle, but miserable. Shallow. Nothing. No family. You know what I mean? I could have had it. I could have done it. But here I'm in Spokane. I bought a Crossman 760 yesterday.
He's losing me a little bit
there.
I
plugged a couple of partridge in my backyard.
Shocker.
And I got my 6.5-year-old here, my wife, and that's living, man.
Now, wait, hold on. But tell me something. If you stayed in Chicago, you don't think you would have stayed married?
You mean back when I was in D.C. and everything, you know, when I was going...
Oh, way back then with George. You know, George, you guys were just going through a rough spot in your marriage like lots of people do.
Oh, yeah, you know, like Howard and Allison and everybody. Mm-hmm. Even though I thought they'd sit together forever, too. I mean, I've been through the same thing as you and Frida. Hey, Don?
What, George?
I thought this would be the perfect time, and I finally think I got you. And this isn't bragging rights or anything. It's actually very, very sad. But can I name the first market I've been in, then you name yours, then I name mine, then you name yours, and see if I got you finally?
What do you mean, the number of markets worked in?
Yes, exactly. Can we just do it, like, right now?
Oh, off the top of my head?
Well,
oh, sure. I'm sure I'll still kill you, though. I mean,
okay.
I've worked almost everywhere.
$6,000.
All right, George. I'll bet you $6,000.
Ready?
Ready?
Start.
Go.
Merrill, Wisconsin.
Rockford, Illinois.
DeKalb, Illinois.
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Ocean City, Maryland, my friends.
Let me just stop right here. Has anybody noticed how much my friend George McFly is starting to sound like Lewis the retard?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, George, the steroids that you took, is your voice higher?
No, I mean, I don't know.
You wound up? You get wound up when you're going to talk to us, right?
You know what? It's true. I am a little hyped.
Okay. All right. All right.
And what's your sleeping schedule like? Because you're doing a morning show now, right?
I haven't slept in 4 nights. Well, that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, it's one of those times. I have that SAD syndrome, that seasonal affective disorder, and it's hitting me hard. Can we keep going real quick?
I thought that happens. No, George, I don't want to listen to that, okay, frankly? I'll be honest with you. It's a wonderful idea.
I'm positive I've worked in more radio markets than you have.
19 cities, 17 years.
You beat me on the number of time.
Right.
You did it faster. But I'm positive I've worked in more markets.
All right, that's all. Whatever. It's not impressive anyway.
I think everybody listening to the show right now wants to know, first and foremost, you, George McFly, how's your head?
All right.
Well, what happened at the station in Chicago? Why'd you leave that station?
Because I can't be bought and I'll never compromise myself. And Chicago's my hometown, and I moved back for the third time, and then I felt like a stranger in my hometown. I'm at that age, I turned 36 in September, where all my friends are married with kids now, and you think you're going to move back and you're going to see everybody and it's going to be the same, and it wasn't. It was just a weird experience. And so, and then at the station, I started out with some freedom, then I didn't have any freedom at all, and then I felt like I was doing nothing. You know, I was playing all these stupid games again. Remember what you tried to get me, you know, out of?
And you mean like rhyming? Were you rhyming again?
No, I wasn't rhyming, but it's time now for almost impossible trivia and all that stuff. Because that's, you know, that was that top 40 format, that quick pace.
How did you end up going then from Denver to Chicago to Spokane?
Fired in Denver.
Right. Wait, no, we knew that. I'm just trying to trace the odyssey.
Wasn't there something in Denver where, with your wife and your family, where you were... Didn't you tell George to stay in Denver at a certain point?
And yes, because his wife's family was from the Denver area.
And Joan didn't want to leave Denver, isn't that right?
Right.
And you were thinking about leaving, and then Don kind of talked to you out of it, and then you got fired anyway?
It was my choice. The program director sat me down, and he said, well, what do you want to do? But did I want to be complacent? Where I had, I was so bored, and I was doing afternoons, and it was all music, and it was that rap crap. And it gave me no ability to... And you guys are the ones. You know, Don, you're telling me one thing, stay in Denver, but in the same breath, you're filling my ego with things like, if you were half as funny on air as you are off air, you could be a star. So then I thought...
But what I said to you is true. If you're half as natural on the radio as you are off the radio, you'd be gangbusters. But there was no reason that you had to leave Denver in the first place to do that.
I know, but I get hyper and impulsive, and that's why I'm actually here. They called me, and I was a little bit bored, and I just said, okay. It was strange.
You're talking about Spokane?
Yeah.
So how did your wife feel about moving to Spokane?
She's numb. Just numb.
Was she enjoying Chicago?
She was okay with Chicago, just getting a little more comfortable. You know, it's our 6.5-year-old in first grade now. I'm in fear that she's going to start hating her dad for moving her around. But that's why I already got my plan. I got it planned out already.
I think if anything, a 6-year-old would hate her dad for giving her enemas.
Well,
tell me about this. Why would you? Why on God's green earth would you give your daughter an enema?
You know, Joan said, you know, why'd you talk to Don on the air about that? People are going to think you're abusive or something, and I have to explain myself.
I know you're not abusive. Just why would you give your daughter an enema? I mean, I know you're into colon health and everything,
right.
But she's a little young for that, isn't she?
No, listen. She didn't go for 3 weeks, and again, let me reiterate, she wasn't almost able to walk any longer. She was just stuffed up. I don't know, genetics.
You think about taking her to a doctor?
Yeah, maybe take her to a reputable physician.
Insurance didn't kick in yet, and DB, dead broke. I mean, not a penny. Okay. And so I went out and bought a fleeter with some pennies that I literally had.
What's a fleeter? What's that like?
Fleet enema.
Yeah. A fleet. Okay.
Yeah, fleet enema. It's like one of those, you know, one-shot deal things.
Right. And
I can tell you,
it was magical, Mike. And it really was. She barely held it, and then bam. I mean, a record breaker, though, guys. I mean, you don't understand how that could come out of a 6.5-year-old.
You know, and let me tell you something right now. I want to ask you about this, because, I mean, in all seriousness, I give you this, you know, as the father of a 4-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter.
Right.
You might want to just double check before you do that again that medically that's something that you should do with a kid that young, because I'm not sure whether that's the best thing to do for a kid that young. I'm not sure, but I think just check with a physician.
Mike,
even call and ask a nurse line.
Mike.
Yes.
It's not the green fleets or not the orange with mineral oil. It's the blues. And the blues.
I don't know what you're talking about. I hear enema, and I just think it.
And
might
I don't
be.
Know about the psychological ramifications of daddy
right.
putting something in.
Yeah,
you
I know.
The blues are for children
and
3 to 8.
I just
okay. All right. So it says it on the package that it's for kids 3 to 8.
Yeah, and you know, kids get so toxic if they don't go. But listen. It's okay.
I would just like
we could drop it because
let me just point
that works.
Let me just point out that the reason I know about this is when George called me after a year absence.
Right.
He called me on Monday morning, 5 a.m. Spokane time, and he said, "Hey, I'm in Spokane.
Right?
Can I call you up on my new morning show today?" And I said, "You know, of course, George. I'm always there for you."
Right.
So he calls me up like 3 hours later. Mm-hmm. He's on the air. And he brings it up to me on the air.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hey, I'm playing my guitar in the studio. I'm on the air with this girl I'm working with.
Right.
Incidentally, I gave my 6-year-old daughter Emma her first enema.
I don't know if it was like that. I think you were leading me down the primrose path. You,
no, George, there'd be no way that I would know that you gave your daughter your six-year-old daughter an enema.
No, because Don, I recall you saying something to me like, "How's your colon?" And then I said, "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, that's how it went." Then I said, "Well, I haven't gotten any colonics recently. However..."
Right, so it's my fault. Okay.
A little bit. And then I got in a little bit of trouble. I mean, my bosses thought I was cool, and they were psyched up that I'm here. However, they said, you know, Don was leading you in a little bit of the wrong direction with the G.I. Joe thing and everything, but...
Of course, it's my fault. I'm the bad guy. I gotcha. I'll tell you another thing that George told me. Well, see, all of this is about the conversation I had with him on his radio show.
Mm-hmm.
We were discussing the guy who was the program director of a station in Chicago who is a kind of an asexual guy.
Okay.
And I said that guy is like a G.I. Joe, that where he should have genitals, he's just smooth.
Oh, okay.
He has nothing.
Well, they shouldn't be upset about that.
No, it was nothing. I mean, it was no big deal. It was more of the fleets and the enemas and, you know.
Yeah, okay, well,
I can see them getting a little upset. To be honest with you.
That's on you, not on me, George.
I think I'm losing a little extra hair listening to you talk about that.
I mean, on my first day. You know, you're supposed to, on your first day on the air, I heard in the past, it's supposed to be the analogy of, like, you're walking into a party, and instead of saying, "Hey, here I am, listen to me," or "Look at me," it's like, "Hey, how you doing? Good to meet you. How you doing? Good to meet you."
Okay.
I kind of signed on a little strong, so I hope they didn't take offense to that.
Who gives them these stupid analogies?
He's worked at how many radio stations have you worked?
I said, "George."
George, come on now. You are a flake.
Isn't that exactly what I said to
yes.
you, George?
Yep.
What Mike just said, I said, "George, you are a flake," and I think that is a positive.
And that's what got me the gig. Bruce, our general sales manager that I worked with in Kansas City that knows me very well, too, he went into the general manager's office when he literally almost was not going to hire me because he heard I was a flake. And Bruce said, just like you, "Yeah, of course he is. That's why you got to bring him here." You know, I mean, what's normal anyway? I mean, wow.
Right. So you haven't slept for 4 days?
I have about 4 times a year. I have a bout with some massive insomnia. And it took my mind to spin, you know?
Yeah, you're just thinking all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah. Especially, you know, when it's a new job. I think it's fairly normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lately it's always been a new job.
So how is the new job going?
It's great, man. I'm either playing my guitar or just, yeah, it's fantastic.
You play your guitar on your show?
Yeah, you can talk about hunting, fishing, boating, camping, small town life, just being myself totally. You have to be so proud. Oh, I love it. You know,
you're,
I think
so
I'm manic. Home. I know it's been 3 days, but I think it's not going to be any of those phone calls anymore where I'm calling you from another state again.
You think this is home?
I think this is it.
Really?
How long do you think you'll stay at the station?
Honestly?
Yes.
Well, even the teacher threatened me. She said, you know, please, you know, your daughter is behind in reading and writing. Can you please tell your husband, or she told my wife to.
I don't ever remember George saying this at any station he's ever worked at.
And that's why
Never have you made that kind of a comment.
The bear inside of me is sleeping. I use this Legends of the Fall philosophy. Because even though I don't look much like Brad Pitt, I have that animalistic inside, that character of Tristan, where sometimes it's raging, and I got to call Don, and he calms me in a way.
He's so cuckoo, man.
you know, where he brings me back down to...
he is so freaking cuckoo.
Life. And,
is it worse than it was? Yeah.
I'll go off, and I'll be a little wackier.
I mean, I'm really fond of him. I think he's a tremendous talent.
I like him, too. He's a nice guy.
And he's a good guy.
He's a fun guy.
Listen to him.
For my past. But that's not real.
Listen to him.
It's just like artificial, weird, male menopause.
What the hell is he talking about?
For me, being 36. Yeah,
he's talking about a lot of things.
Right. Do you guys go through the same thing ever?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever write, like, Mary Lou Kozibutski a letter that you might have dated in 85 because it was the salad days and it was so innocent, but it really wasn't back in 85? So back in 85, when you, like, dated this girl, it wasn't really that special, but then when you're going through a little manic phase...
Hey, George, where's Joan at?
She's here.
Put her on. Let me talk to her, please.
Okay, real quick. Joan? Don wants to talk to you real quick. Hey, Mike.
I don't really see how Georgie's doing now.
Yeah. Talk to his better half.
Hello.
Hi, Joan. How are you?
Good. How are you, Don?
Yeah, and Mike's here, too.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi, Joan. How you doing?
Good.
How is that kooky husband?
I'm surviving another move.
How is your
kooky... Ready to kill the guy.
I'm ready to kill him. All right.
You're hanging in there,
you know,
Joan.
It was divorce or move, so I had to throw it up in the air and decide.
You know, he sounds kookier right now than he sounded over the last couple of years. How would you rate him?
Kookier? No, actually, he's better.
Oh, he's better?
Yeah.
Now, he made a comment about he really thinks...
You know, those drugs are kicking in. He's doing better.
He said he really thinks he's home, and does he really feel that way?
Oh, no, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he feels. We've been here a week. How could he, you know,
She's the reality of this partnership here.
All right. Actually, it's nice. It's that small town living. I think he just needed the escape from the big city for a while, so he's just chilling and relaxing.
Cool.
It is beautiful here. It's nice. It's a nice place to raise our daughter for a while, so we'll see what happens. I don't want to pull her. I'm more concerned about her. I can't be pulling her out of school anymore.
Yeah, beautiful.
So,
right on.
Thank God she adjusts really good, so she loves her new school, so I'm hoping she can continue through the year, and we'll decide then. But
well, George is so lucky he's got you, Joan.
Yeah.
Seriously.
What?
If George didn't have you, I'm positive he would be locked up in a straight...
Oh, yeah, or in a mental institution.
Straight jacket.
Sure.
Absolutely. All right, well, good talking to you, Joan.
Oh, the gay landlord's here. Gotta go.
The new landlord is here.
Oh, okay.
Bye,
Joan.
She's the coolest.
She is the coolest. You got a great woman there.
You're very lucky, George.
She must be very in love with you to have hung in there with you with all this moving around.
Well, it's cool. Not only is it like a high school sweetheart, but she gives me the freedom to be totally honest and knowing it's a passing fad. Knowing that I'm not going to follow through with those weird feelings that I get once in a while when I write my music or call old friends and old girlfriends and stuff.
Get out of your mind.
Monogamous. It's not
out of your
sex,
mind.
It's just about... What?
I said you're out of your mind.
A little bit, but I'm just trying to say in the relationship, I dig that she allows me that kind of freedom, like in Mr. Holland's Opus. Did you guys see that flick?
Yes.
Yeah, he could have went for Gene Kelly, that beautiful chick from 1980, but, you know, he decided, you know, he loved his family just like I do, so, yeah, me and Joan are friends, and it's a good deal. I
Jesus
threw something
Christ.
Up big time by moving around like that, and
okay.
You're the one that was responsible for my settlement down. Thank you.
Okay, well, you're welcome. I hope you stay there.
Good luck to you. I like the fact that you're happy, and sounds like, you know, you're painting a nice picture of Spokane. Sounds like a real nice
time. I hope you do enjoy yourself there, George. I hope you latch onto this radio station. I hope the town embraces you. I hope you become the goddamn king of Spokane.
Here you
go. I hope so, guys. I fatigue you, don't I, in a way.
Yo, you definitely fit to you guys.
Yeah, big time.
But I don't mean to, and I don't even want to do my show like that. I know I staccato talk and talk very fast, but I want you to not laugh at me. I want you to respect me. I want you to be proud, Don.
I can say, without question, I've never been prouder.
There you go.
Never been prouder than I am right now.
You're a good guy, George McFly. You know that.
Well, Mike, I think you're the best, too, man.
I mean, you are. You know, when we worked with you, you are a nice, nice guy. And, you know, you got a great wife and a great daughter, and I hope everything works
out. How many records an hour are they making you play?
I'm so lucky. The less, the better, he says. He said, if you play more than six, you're not entertaining. Guys, this is fantastic. I mean, of course, my long-term goal is to be like you guys, where you're totally on all the time. However, my emotions get in the way sometimes.
Really?
So when I get a little down in the dumps, I have bad shows. When I'm celebrating life, I have good shows. You guys are consistent. I haven't learned that yet. I don't know how you turn it on and off like that.
All right, George. Okay, listen, glad you're there. Stay in one piece, for God's sake.
Good luck to you.
And I feel like you guys think I'm weird here.
We always think you're weird. That's always normal, George, and accept that. You're talking about the honesty. Accept that, you know. We like you and we think you're weird. Those two can exist very comfortably together.
You're
I know. It's just that I put you guys up on pedestals and yet you worry about me. And that worries me.
Okay, George. Whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us again when we have these few moments on the analyst's couch.
All right, goodbye, George.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
I'll try to listen to you in my car if it comes in.
Okay, yeah, 790. It comes in. Everybody in Spokane gets it.
Oh, I thought it was 97.
No, 790, George. 790.
Okay, very good. I'll see you guys later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, George.
Love you, Don.
Love you, George.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, guys.
Wow. Christ.
Good luck.
Well, he sounds different than he did before.
He does.
Yeah, he sounds more wound up. I do believe he hasn't slept for 4 days. That
yeah.
I do believe.
Yeah. And, you know, I like the little picture he painted of Spokane. And, you know, he'll be there for another couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Right. I never got out of him how long he thinks he'll be there.
Yeah. Who knows?
How many radio stations are in Spokane? Hopefully he could just stay in the town of Spokane.
Sure.
And just, you know, be the radio pauper going from radio station to radio station.
That can happen sometimes.
To radio station.
But you got to log a pretty good year at one place to do that.
Yeah, okay. You want to make a bet right now. It's October 27th. You want to make a bet that a year from now, well, let me ask, is there anybody in this room who would be willing to bet that a year from now George is still working at the same station?
I would for only one reason.
Why?
It's the same station, though. Spokane, yes, same station.
Okay, I would take you on the bet of Spokane.
I would say he'll be in Spokane because I think that in this case, the influence of the daughter is mm-hmm. legit.
And the reason I don't think it'll last a year is because school's out for summer.
Right.
You want to bet?
Yeah, I'll bet.
Okay. I bet you won't.
Same city, not necessarily same station.
Same city. Okay.
Same city.
Okay. Robbie, write that down.
You got it.
We got to have that documented.
Absolutely.
That next October 27th, we'll check in and see where George is living.
I'd like to go on record and say that I made that bet for the entertainment value of the show.
And we appreciate it.
If
and
I was really like wagering, that bet would not have been made.
Should be some motivation for George.
Absolutely.
Yes. Stay where the hell you are, man.
That's good.
Life is good.
And it'll motivate him. That I'm the one saying, you know, that I think he's going to stay, and you're thinking there's not a yeah. chance. That will motivate in his weird, sick, twisted way. Isn't he the kind of, I mean, he kind of goes the opposite direction.
Yes.
It's a very yes. weird, very weird thing.
As a matter of fact, I might bet you $20 right now that he's going to bust to L.A. by the end of the week. By Friday, he tries to get a job at Power 106.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you heard Joan. He's only been there a week.
Yeah, only a week.
Yeah, well, good luck to him.
Well, we have people on the phone for Spokane who want to talk about George. Okay, Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hello, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I'm a 50-year resident of this little bedroom community, and it scares the hell out of me that you bastards ran him into Spokane.
Oh. Come on. He's okay.
He'll grow on you.
And there's okay. way too many radio stations in Spokane. He could stay here for a while.
All right, good. Well, that's good. That's a good sign.
Officially, I just want to make sure I say this. Officially, I don't endorse anybody listening to his show, since we are officially on a competing station in Spokane.
Yeah.
And
right.
our station would appreciate is saying that I'm sure whatever blah 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 in the morning is on 790 KFAN is the station you should listen to.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if he's on the same station that you guys are on here.
No, he's not. No
he's on some other. He's on some station that plays a box of records.
Oh, okay.
All right. But
the only thing that may save us here is we do have a chapter of Hell's Angels, and maybe they'll find him and run his butt out of town.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Harland.
Yeah, hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Mark me down as another person who's not really happy about George being here. We got enough crazy bastards in this town. We don't need him.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking the people of Spokane.
Absolutely.
To give him a chance. He's
sure.
He's a good guy, even right. though I know he's crazy.
He's wacko. You can tell.
He's a good guy.
Okay. You can tell.
Thank you.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
Mike?
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. This is Susan.
Yes. Hi, Susan.
You know, I was driving home from work, and I heard George, and I was, on the one hand, I was really scared, but on the other hand, I was really happy, because now I know what I'm going to be for Halloween.
What?
Man, I'm going to be George McFly. Scare the crap out of anybody.
Uh-huh. I am very surprised that the reaction
is the first time we've gotten this type of reaction to him.
Mm-hmm. I jog early in the morning in the dark, and a lot of times I get scared if I hear something or
right.
I see another jogger come out of nowhere.
Right.
I have that feeling in my chest and my stomach while I listen to him. He is really scary.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the third in a row.
Okay. Well, sorry about that. He's my friend. I've got to stand by him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a good man.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
I want to tell you something. If George is listening to this right now on the radio, thank God he can't get this station at home.
Yeah, really.
This is the kind of thing that would make him, really.
He'd eat lead.
He's very upset. He was upset about one other time when we were talking about seeing him out in L.A. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this and,
very fragile.
He's
very sitting
fragile.
Here, waiting to say, and we really don't. Mean, I can't.
It's very fragile. Yeah, hello, Don on my show.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant. He sounds like a coked-up freak talking about giving his little girl an enema. Great job, guys!
Wow, somebody is not very happy.
Why is the great job guys thrown our way?
Wait, we didn't do anything. We just talked to the guy.
Hello.
We just talked to the guy.
Jesus Christ. Great job, guys.
Nice going.
Okay, all right. Well, our audience, as you can tell, is very enamored with our friend George McFly.
Absolutely.
Wow. Great to have George on the show again.
All positive.
We will be back with more after this.
This is the Don and
Mike. New York Yankees, please.
Yes, I can.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jim Gray, how you guys doing out there? I hope you all win tonight, or Atlanta might win the series if you're out there.
Thank you, Tom.
That does it.
There you go. How do you feel about the Pete Rose issue, Tom?
I don't know about Pete Rose.
Very, very good. And Tom, how do you feel about the state of sports in general? Do you feel that the athletes are getting too pampered?
Yes, they are.
Explain that, please.
Because they are not doing well in the baseball.
And, Tom, here's a wild one for you, because we just had Wild Bill Hudnut on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell Indianapolis?
I-N.
Oh, God.
I-N.
Is that I-N-I-N or just one I-N?
Rob, I need to transcribe this. I need a pen.
Gotcha, Mike.
Thank you very much. Tom, start over again. Indianapolis, can you spell it for us, please?
I-N... I-N-M-O-R-E-L-N.
Correct. In moral.
Correct.
Very good.
Perfect. He's a good speller. Thank you, Tom. And again, Tom, for the record, your current age?
I'm going to be 40, coming up December 2nd, 1959.
He was born December 2nd, 1959. Tom, can you give us a monster roar, please?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy Halloween, Tom.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No need to say goodbye, Tom.
Too busy to
say goodbye.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Oh, we have to break, and then we're going to get the guy with the penis book on. Hello.
Hello. Up here in Spokane, we do have crazy radio. We even have Mark Furman on Thursdays, which is crime.
What?
Mark Furman on Thursday.
Yeah, I know he is. I am amazed at the state of modern radio. Just let me address this for a moment. That a dick like Mark Furman could get a radio show.
Yeah, really.
To me, is ridiculous. I mean, I feel like I want to vomit when I read that Newt Gingrich gets a radio show.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And when I read that Dr. Laura is on the radio and that Dr. Joy Brown is on the radio. But when a guy like Mark Furman can get a radio show,
I mean, what's the world coming to?
Please. You know.
Makes me ashamed.
You know a lot. You
what?
Know.
Makes me ashamed.
to be in the same business.
We'll have to send you a tape.
Oh, please don't. Come on. You just ruined my day by telling me that.
Hey, you get great excerpts.
You've just made me feel that the business that I already have very little faith in. I have no faith in my business now.
Well, you know, did you ever really have it? I mean, with some of the people they put on the radio?
Oh, I had that much.
I know.
But, you know, what's next? Oh, the O.J. Morning Zoo?
My thoughts exactly.
All right, goodbye.
Have a great break.
Goodbye. Who would hire Mark Furman? Did he say have a great break?
He did.
Have a great break.
Wait,
a great commercial break?
I don't know what he was talking about. Who would hire him?
Yeah.
Alan Goodman.
I guess it was somebody did. Join Mark and his guests.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
Join Mark and his guests, the Grand Dragon,
Tom Gavin, and Dennis Murphy.
And a special sports segment with Jimmy the Greek.
Okay, all right. Mark Furman, please kiss my ass with that. We will be back with the guy. We'll go from the ass to the other side.
Very good.
The guy's name is Joseph Cohen. Now, frankly, I'll tell you, I don't know if this guy's gay or not. You know, like, not that there's anything wrong with it.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
But this guy has written a book all about the penis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little like cocktail book. As you can see, it's called The Penis Book.
Mm-hmm.
Has a picture of a banana on the front of it.
Right. On the back is a
picture of him.
Oh, that's him?
That's him, naked, holding his book. And then as you open the book up, it says, you think you know everything about penises? Bet you didn't know what hospitals do with foreskins after they've been snipped off.
Oh, so it is that kind of book where they're just going to give, like, a trivia book about the penis.
How fortunes were made in the war against wet dreams. The one song you should never whistle at a urinal. Or the woes of working on a hopping penis assembly line. The penis book celebrates the penis like nothing before. So get ready to learn. Whether you're male, female, straight, or gay, the penis book has something for everybody.
Are there pictures?
Yes. Gross. Yuck.
Okay, it's very gay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine something tinier than a chihuahua can stir up so many emotions. Phone sex businesses, visits to the shrink, babies, dirty jokes, sleepless nights, and embarrassed giggles, and so much fun. And then it's like, it's a tribute to the penis. I'm going to bet right now this guy is gay.
We'll find out right away.
Yeah. Step right up and drop your pants. It's the moment of truth. Oh, he's got to think about how long the average penis is.
Ah, that interests me.
Interesting. On page number 6, right up front in the book.
Is there like a built-in ruler?
Wow, look at it, like.
Okay, very accurate. Yeah,
but you're supposed to, like, unzip your pants and see how long you are.
Right on the page.
Says the average length of a flaccid penis is 3.7 inches.
Okay.
With a diameter of 1.25 inches.
Mm-hmm.
The average length of an erect penis, I feel so goddamn gay reading this, is 5.1 inches with a diameter of 1.6 inches.
All right, yeah.
Penises usually,
that's average, huh? Yeah.
Usually reach their manly max by the time a male is 17.
Okay.
Okay.
When I was 17, I reached my manly max.
All right, then he writes about penis enlargement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next article is about ejaculation.
Oh, no.
Then the next article is great balls of fire.
Okay, it's getting a little creepy now.
Then he goes to, then there are pictures. Okay.
Was that like a tattoo?
Yes.
Picture.
Yeah, it was a picture of naked men who have their penises tattooed. Do you think this guy's gay?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Then let me see. Let me have.
What was that Chinese lady holding?
The Lucky Dragon Penis Factory.
Oh.
It's a woman. You ever see, like, in Spencer Gifts, those wind-up penises?
Yeah, right, right. Mm-hmm. Did Lenny have one of those?
Yeah,
right.
It's the woman who makes those. Right, Rudy's friend.
Yeah, Lenny had one without the feet on it.
Sure. Okay, then he has an article about the jock strap, circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Foreskins,
mm-hmm.
Masturbation.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, Buzz says knowingly.
Oh. You can't have a penis book without covering that.
Right, this is maybe the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What is it? What?
He's got a fold-out, or he's got like 50 different guys with their heads chopped off, and just their bodies, their penises. You know, this is like Christmas at Homo Joe's house.
You got to get that book.
This is
you
like,
definitely have to give that book to Homo Joe.
This is the grossest thing I have absolutely ever
seen. Hey, what do you expect? It's the penis book.
I know it is. Oh, and oh my God.
What's this?
Oh, okay, this is just a statue. It's a statue of a guy giving himself a Monica.
You sure it's a statue?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a candle.
My God.
Okay. And you have...
My God.
Urinal etiquette?
I'm curious about that.
Refrain from whistling the man I love while peeing.
Who even knows that? I don't know that now.
Avoid the temptation of saying, nice watch you got there.
Oh.
On those occasions, if you have to use the little boy urinal, do not get on your knees. Be courteous to people standing behind you. Shake no more than three times. Don't hog the hot air dryer trying to dry those last drops on your pants. Hide your puddle with a newspaper or top coat. And then we have something about orgasms. What I'm doing right now is virtually reading the man's entire book here.
It's a short book.
Yeah, it's very short.
Lots of pictures, big lettering.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Do women prefer big penises?
That's the last part.
Well, what does it say?
Sure.
Yeah, they do?
Yes, it says sure.
Yeah, thank you for reading that chapter.
Well, what do you need to know besides the first word? Sure.
Sure.
It says, do women prefer big penises?
I thought you were making that up.
No, look at it. It's real big.
Sure, sure.
And then like one of those little Kama Sutra pictures.
Yeah. That's the first word. That's all I had to read. Sure.
Sure.
Okay, then you have guaranteed turn-ons. I guess these are for
women?
I don't know. Let me see. Getting your armpits licked. Is that a turn-on for?
I don't know.
Delicious mix of perfume and sweat.
Now, wait a minute. I'm totally confused.
24 guaranteed turn-ons.
For men or women?
It doesn't say. It just has a picture of a penis.
Very generic.
Right.
Very asexual.
A slap across the ass.
Or hypersexual.
Right.
A perfect smile, having your underwear ripped off. Letting the neighbors watch you have sex.
Oh, boy. Interesting. Well, it's going to be an interesting conversation.
The sound of a wailing saxophone. A bag full of naughty toys. A wandering toe.
I know you hate the feet.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the wandering toe.
Yeah. All right, well, okay. Let me see. Let's drive me wild.
Now this is interesting. Oh, this is the first thing I've seen. This book's really interesting.
Right.
It's about animals and their penises.
Okay.
Gorillas may top the scales at 600 pounds, but a gorilla's erect penis is only 2 inches long.
Really?
Wow.
I have no idea. I never would have known that.
A whale's penis, 9 feet.
My God.
Pig's genitals are curly. Are nature's corkscrews.
Right.
With a twist that spirals up to 18 inches. This is why we call it screwing.
Right.
Okay, let me see. An elephant's penis.
Huge.
When he has an erection. It's 4 feet long and weighs 100 pounds. A giraffe's penis rises 19 feet and sports a 24-inch erection.
Oh, my God.
An octopus's penis resides on one of its 8 tentacles. When it's time to mate, the entire penis arm detaches and tracks down a female.
Detaches?
Wow. Yeah. After copulation, the penis dies but remains attached to the female.
So that's they're good for one time.
One time only.
Boy.
One time only.
Too bad for the octopi.
All right, well, let's get this guy on the line.
Very good.
Get this guy, Joseph Cohen, is his name. Now that I virtually have read the entire damn book on the air.
Fascinating.
Well, he'll be on with us next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, Ooh, and Man vs. Nature, The Road to Victory. In a few days, our eggs will hatch into nestlings like these over here.
They look awfully hungry, Mr. McClure.
They sure are, Billy. In nature, their mother would regurgitate food for them to eat.
That's gross.
It sure is, Billy. It sure is.
Well, if you live in Mobile, Alabama, howdy. Almost 5:30 now, and you're hearing this show on radio station WABB. Mobile.
Let's go, girls.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow on the show, Vincent Price's daughter will be here to dish dirt on her old man.
I'm going to ask her if she looks like her old man.
She says that not only was her dad a Nazi sympathizer, also he might have been gay.
That's right.
Friday, the big Halloween show, Trick or Teeth.
Yeah.
Bobby for Boners.
Yeah.
Pumpkin Picasso also on Friday.
Pumpkin Picasso.
And then Monday, Milton Berle's son is coming on the show.
Uh-oh.
He's written some awful book about his father, so he's coming on to talk about that on Monday.
You think we'll be able to talk to him about what we were talking to the author of the penis book?
I think he writes a whole chapter about it in his book.
Does he really?
And, you know, when we were going through the tabloids a moment ago, reading that stuff about Mrs. Tony Bennett.
Right.
Isn't Tony Bennett suffering from the herpes?
He was. I think there was actually some sort of legal action where he gave someone herpes and then they sued him.
So, if I'm just going on the theory now that Tony Bennett has herpes.
Mm-hmm. You figure he had herpes maybe when he was with this woman.
Right.
And she gave the herpes
to Warren Beatty, Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Doug McClure.
Doug McClure. You remember him better than I do.
Who were the other two guys? There were two other guys.
George Hamilton.
George Hamilton and Joe DiMaggio.
George Hamilton, really, with all that sun exposure, too. Surprised he doesn't get the old, lip luggage once in a while.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi there.
Hey, hi, baby.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Yes, y'all are. Y'all are doing a really good job.
Thank you.
We just wanted to let you know, you were talking about the people with the horse in their house.
Yes, ma'am.
About 6 or 8 months ago, I was up in the middle of the night and was watching Springer.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy on there that was wanting to marry his horse.
Very good.
They showed pictures of him, taking a bath with the horse, cooking supper with the horse.
Oh, Jesus.
I bet he's regular.
I'm sure. He even French kissed the horse on TV.
Baby. Jerry Springer. Hats off to Springer.
And that's a good call, ma'am. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we sure do appreciate y'all keeping us entertained down here in the South.
Thank you, darling.
Bye-bye.
You're calling from the South. What a shock.
Thank you.
Didn't notice.
I figured her for Northern New England.
A Yankee. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, it's true. Someone has stolen Michael Jackson's home videos.
Oh, no.
And he says he wants $100,000 ransom for those videos, the thief
I
does.
I have a collection of home videos that have, how should I describe it, sensitive material on them.
Don't tell you something, man.
Lisa Marie, help me.
I stole those videos. I want $100,000. I'm going to show everybody you given a special treat, Emmanuel Lewis.
Hey, no, that's not true. It's a lie. Lisa Marie, we're divorced. How come you're still so mean to me?
I got that video of you putting your finger up my colleague Corkin's poop shoot.
Oh, no. Stop. Oh, my God.
The tapes feature Michael playing with children at the Neverland Ranch and at Euro Disney. A spokesman for the singer says the tapes are not embarrassing and that Jackson absolutely refuses to pay to have them returned.
Well, they're embarrassing. I'll tell you what, when I release these tapes, your tears, they will turn to laughter.
Oh, no, you're so cruel, Shimon. Shimon. Lisa Marie, why are you always so cruel to me?
The spokesman says Michael didn't even know the tapes were missing until he got a phone call from a tabloid.
Oh.
Now, says the spokesman, Jackson will file a complaint with the police in France, which is where the tapes were stolen, from his hotel room.
Hello, French Inquirer? this is James Smith. I have a tape of Michael Jackson doing awful things with TV's Webster. How many French will you give me for that?
He's crying. People from crying, they have to do one thing.
Oh, Jesus.
What? I have to stand in front of him and dance.
Really?
Yes. And he stops crying. His tears turn to laughter. And he starts...
His tears turn to laughter.
Come on.
His tears turn to laughter.
Oprah, you won't get any smaller eating cake.
I have rhinoceros skin.
Remember the last time we talked about JonBenet Ramsey and we said that the governor of Colorado would decide whether or not he was going to appoint a special prosecutor to look into the case?
Right.
He's made that decision. He's not going to do that. Governor.
Nobody! Who is Nero? Nobody! Who is Jack?
Mike, I didn't play it when I read the story about it in the tabloid.
I understand that.
Strictly a news treat.
Who's the swiniest one in the world?
Draw your own sick connection here. I always hate the connection.
The dirtiest dog in this.
Your parents did push you in the theater at an early age. Don't throw that again.
Let's throw something at you if you say that again. Push me in the theater. Put me in fancy pants. Put me out on the stage in a sailor suit.
Sing, young Michael, sing. Yes.
Young mama, yes, papa. Young performer Mike O'Mara. Governor Bill Owen says he might appoint that special prosecutor later, but he says right now the right people are working on the case, and he says he's been told they are targeting the right murder suspects. He also called on JonBenet's parents to, and I quote, stop hiding behind their attorneys, end quote, and return to Colorado to help solve the case. Governor Owen says the police will continue their investigation.
Oh, here's the governor now.
Right.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
No,
the next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
Thank you, Governor Michael.
here's the governor.
The state of Colorado will continue to support the ongoing investigation. Should circumstances change, I will reassess the need for a special prosecutor at that time.
Sure. Christ, they're disorganized.
You know what
I'm wondering really about this case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if every parent who's had a child murdered or abducted or missing would get this kind of, I mean, this kind of attention. I mean, it's
absolutely not. The answer to that is no.
Absolutely not. And I mean, every parent's gone through tragedies like this, you know, with unsolved murders. And I really wish that, you know, they do this, at least spend as much time on this as everybody else.
So it's a very similar parallel to when we said, do you remember when JFK's plane crashed?
Oh, absolutely.
We said, you know, there was, at the same time, there was some schmuck whose plane had crashed, like in Seattle, Washington.
Right.
And they had, like, one guy in a rowboat looking for him.
Exactly.
So meanwhile, we have the whole freaking Coast Guard looking for JFK Jr.
Yeah,
same thing
here. He's sitting out there, like, in a dinghy with a walkie-talkie. He goes, nope, nothing out here. Okay, case closed.
Right. She's a rich little kid from a rich little neighborhood.
That's right.
And it's become an obsession for the American people. I think a lot of people are very angry about the fact that no one's been brought to justice.
I guess my point is the screw-up with this investigation has probably happened to other parents, too, and it just doesn't go reported, and I feel for those people that are probably sitting there as saying, you know, the same thing happened to us with a botched investigation, but nobody ever heard about it.
You can certainly talk to John Walsh at America's Most Wanted about that, because he went through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Talk about electrifying excitement. Al Gore and Bill Bradley face off for their first debate tonight in New Hampshire. Get some popcorn ready. The two are running neck and neck in the polls. Gore appears to be on his way down, though, as Bradley appears to be moving up. But here's the debate now.
Dennis is watching this right now. Dennis, just groan once if you're for Gore.
Okay.
No. I want to, like, a grunt. Grunt if you're for Bradley. Why don't you just make a sound if you're undecided?
Lord,
wow. Oh man, he hasn't made up his mind yet.
Sounds vicious.
That's dreamy.
Plus, we have to do a break.
All right, let's do one.
We'll be back with more news and more comments.
Christian, John, baby, how's it going? He also said the U.S. has to look after its own interests, and I quote, ahead of any other country, and that means Israel, end quote. Buchanan also warned Donald Trump to...
So what's that, like an anti-Jew thing?
Some people might interpret it that
way. That's how I am. I'm not Jewish. That's how I just interpreted that.
Yeah, some people, like people with IQs over 50.
Thank you for saying that.
Right. Buchanan also
warned... Thank you.
Warned...
So are you saying I have an IQ over 50?
Most definitely.
Thank you.
Get up and out of here.
Yes.
So does everybody that works here.
Right.
Well, almost everybody. Buchanan also warned Donald Trump to stop the name-calling. Trump has referred to Buchanan as a wacko.
I think the person we're speaking of has at least an IQ of 50. Mike and I were just talking about some of the people that work here.
Right.
Before we went on the air.
He does, absolutely. And I'm trying to think of anyone that wouldn't necessarily not have, that works here.
People in our department or another department?
I'm going to write names down and you cannot say the names.
Of course I won't.
Okay, don't do that.
Write a name down.
But I'm just writing down random names.
I got a name for you, too.
Okay, let's see if we have the same name.
Okay, hold on. We're going to play the match game.
Mm. All right.
On the lowest IQ in the building.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I've come up with two.
All right.
They both start with the same letter.
Really?
Okay.
Winner! We could go on that game.
Winner!
We could go on that game.
Winner!
That's a match.